Kat, you are on with Dr. Greger.
Hi, Doctor. How are you today?
I am doing so good.
I am so glad, and it's always an honor to talk to you. I'm such a huge fan of you.
Oh, I'm so honored to be back.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you're the author of How Not to Die, and then right on the back of that, you've got How to Survive a Pandemic. You really write quickly, or were you already planning this? How did you do this?
Yeah, no. The first half of my professional life was dedicated to, I was a public health director working on infectious diseases. So I had this body of work. That's what I've actually published most on, and just really moved to chronic disease like heart disease relatively recently. So this is an opportunity to really go back and just, put all that that prior work, get out there into the world.
Well, I just think it's amazing, and it's so timely, and, I mean, we need to know. So, I mean, everybody is, affected by this. We've all been changed across the world. So I would love to have some of this information, out there for our listeners. How and why viruses manage to spread so effectively, Doctor? I mean, how do they do this? They're tricky little things.
Yeah, well, unlike other deadly coronavirus outbreaks like SARS and MERS, COVID-19 is like the flu in that people can be contagious before showing symptoms. So days after becoming infected, you can look perfectly fine, feel perfectly fine, but be exhaling virus with every breath. And that's why these social distancing measures have been necessary, because without mass testing, you don't know who's infected. So you just have to try to keep everyone apart from everyone else.
Well, and then, of course, we just wrapped up Memorial Day weekend, and, of course, we all see photos on TV or on social media of people really close together. So it gives you pause, and then, of course, that makes everybody a little bit concerned about that as well. So it's really
outdoors, though. Most of these, outdoors. I mean, there's so much ventilation. You have the sanitizing rays of the sun. Only if you're really close to someone with an extended conversation outside, if someone's coughing in your face. Really, outdoors is the place to be in terms of reducing risk. It's confined, crowded indoor spaces where most of the kind of super spreader events have happened.
That makes sense to me, and I think that the ocean is very healing, by the way.
Oh, let's all go out to the beach.
Yes, sir. Well, talk to me about the limitations of vaccines and modern medicine against influenza and coronavirus.
Well, it's humbling to realize that historically the average vaccine has taken more than a decade to develop, with an average failure rate of 94%. Even though there's more than 100 vaccine candidates now in the pipeline, we should not expect to have a vaccine available for the general public until at the earliest second half of next year. Mm-hmm. And without a vaccine, herd immunity is only achieved really the hard way through mass infection. But look, you can't get the virus unless the virus can get to you. And so, I talk about all the common sense measures we can take to reduce our risk, and even more importantly, prevent the emergence of the next pandemic virus in the first place.
Exactly. Well, how have our behavior, how has that helped given rise to new plagues? What is it that we're doing or not doing?
Yeah, well, over the last few decades, hundreds of new pathogens have emerged at a rate unprecedented in human history. You say, wait a second, emerged from where? Mostly from animals. The AIDS virus is blamed on the butchering of primates and the bushmeat trade in Africa. Mad cow disease was because we turned cows into carnivores and cannibals. SARS and COVID-19 have been traced back to the exotic wild animal trade. But our last pandemic, swine flu in 2009, arose not from some backwater wet market in Asia, but was largely made in the USA on pig operations in the United States. Now, thankfully, swine flu only killed about 500,000 people. But the next time, we might not be so lucky.
Wow. Well, how about modern farming practices? Has that assisted in the revolution of new viruses? Or the evolution?
As devastating as COVID-19 has been, it may just be a dress rehearsal for an even greater threat waiting in the wings of chickens. According to the CDC, the leading candidate for the next pandemic is a bird flu virus known as H7N9, which is 100 times deadlier than COVID-19. Instead of 1 in 250 cases dying, H7N9 has killed 40% of the people it infects. You know, last time a bird flu virus jumped directly to humans and caused a pandemic, it triggered the deadliest plague in history, the 1918 pandemic, which killed 50 million people.
Right.
That had a 2% death rate. I mean, what if we had a pandemic infecting billions where death was closer to a flip of a coin? But the good news is, there is maybe something we can do about it. You know, just as eliminating the exotic animal trade and live animal markets may go a long way towards preventing the next coronavirus pandemic, reforming the way we raise domestic animals for food may help forestall the next killer flu.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And how do you get people on board with this?
Well, I mean, just realizing that we are, this may just be kind of the dry run we needed, the fire drill to wake us from our complacency to reform the food system before it's too late. You know, we overcrowd tens of thousands of animals into these cramped, filthy football field-sized sheds to lie, beak to beak or snout to snout atop their own waist. It's just a breeding ground for disease. We need to give these animals more breathing room. They're the ones who could use a little social distancing.
Right.
And, the bottom line is just not worth risking the lives of millions of people for the sake of, cheaper chicken.
So when we have the animal-derived diseases, a lot of it is done because of the conditions that they're in?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just the sheer number of animals, but the overcrowding, the stress crippling their immune systems, the ammonia from the decomposing waste burning their lungs, the lack of fresh air, the lack of sunlight. Put all these factors together, and what you have is really kind of the perfect storm environment for the emergence and spread of these so-called super strains of influenza. These so-called factory farms can be thought of as a public health menace, which is why the American Public Health Association has called for a moratorium on factory farming. Tragically, we don't tend to shore up the levees until after the disaster strikes.
Right.
But, it may take a pandemic that wipes out millions before the world realizes the true cost of cheap meat.
Well, how can we mitigate the risk of the next pandemic?
Well, in this new age of emerging diseases, there are, billions of feathered and curly-tailed test tubes for viruses to incubate and mutate within billions more, spins at pandemic roulette. But along with human culpability comes hope. I mean, if changes in human behavior can cause new plagues, well, then changes in human behavior may prevent them in the future. We may be, one bushmeat meal away from the next HIV, one pangolin plate away from the next killer coronavirus, and one factory farm away from the next, deadly flu. But, if you look around, there's really hope on the horizon. Major meat producers, Cargill,
right,
Tyson, Purdue, Smithfield, Hormel, the makers of Spam, they have all started innovating us out of this precarious situation by making plant-based meat alternatives, which not only better for our own personal health, better from a kind of environmental standpoint, but from a pandemic threat standpoint, zero risk.
Wow. Well, that gives us something to look towards, and we can all do our part, and we just got to be smart, common sense, right?
Absolutely, right. I mean, that's, this is not the time to panic, but to take, common sense measures to protect ourselves and our families. And so that's why I'm just so excited to get this book out. All proceeds I get from the book are donated directly to charity. I just want everyone to have access to this life-saving information.
Well, bless your heart. It's How to Survive a Pandemic. And, of course, they need to check out, too, How Not to Die in Your Cookbook. I love these. I love what you're doing. How can we find out more and get a copy? If this is ebook only still on...
It's an audiobook. No, I spent 7 days recording the audiobook.
Oh, my gosh.
Audiobook, ebook. And there are hard physical copies coming out this fall.
You really are amazing, Dr. Greger. I love you. All right, so how do we follow you on social?
Oh, so you can see all my chronic disease work at nutritionfacts.org. Has all my my contact information. I encourage anyone to reach out if they have any questions on how to best heal themselves or their families.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the time. Thank you for your hard work, and keep it up, okay?
Stay safe.
All right, you too. Thank you.